We certainly do believe that. And from this morning in the account of Genesis chapter 22 of Abraham and Isaac, his son, we understand how great that account is, and there's so many things that we can learn from that and be taught. One of the things that I think is really important for us to remember is that it was God that provided that ram in the thicket. It's the whole idea that God will provide. And God wasn't, in this sense, He wasn't looking for a human sacrifice. He wasn't trying to force Abraham to do something that would be sinful. He was proving two things. He was proving first that faith must be combined with obedience in any and every single circumstance. And secondly, no matter what the situation is, God will provide. He'll provide for our every need. And great was the father of faith here as we think about Abraham. It was Abraham who said to his servants, and think about this, he said to his servants to stay here with the donkey. And the boy and I will go yonder and we will worship and come back to you. And if you combine that with what God had commanded him to do, to take his son Isaac up on that mountain and sacrifice him, and yet when he got to that mountain, what did he say? He didn't say, you know, you wait here with the donkey and the boy and I will go yonder and I'll come back to you. No, he had faith. And one of the reasons we know that is so very true is in verse 8 when Isaac asked his father, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And in verse 5, in verse 22, verse 8, God says, Abraham says, my son, and you look at that, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. And that's faith. You see, this isn't a story of human sacrifice, and there was plenty of that going on around in those days. It's not a story about being tempted or tested to sin. It's a story about God and how He will provide for all of our needs. God causes the sun to rise. God causes the night to go away and the morning sun to rise. And in the fact, when we look at that, He's taking the terrible darknesses of life and He's taking away the storms and He'll provide that safe vessel. And it's proof that God is standing ready always. It's proof that God loves us all. And He rewards us for obedience to His commands, to His will. And there's nothing trivial about this event. It's not like Abraham was just, I'm going to go up there. I got to sacrifice my son. I'm going to obey God. But things will kind of work out. I have no doubt that Abraham's heart was pounding, even though he had the faith that God was able to raise his son up from the dead. But he didn't know that his son wouldn't die. He just knew that God was able to raise him from the dead. And in one way or another, he had great confidence in that. Even years later, you know, Moses believed the same thing. Moses is the one at the burning bush passage that talked about the dead. Then the Lord, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob in Luke chapter 20 and at verse 7. And so Abraham's not alone. And the very same answer is what Jesus gave to the Sadducees who tried to trip him up when they asked about who would be raised from the dead and a woman that had seven a husband with seven brothers and, you know, who would be the brother in the end. And Jesus, of course, said, God's not the God of the living or the dead, but He's the God of the living. And so it goes on and on and on. In this, God is teaching us, all mankind, that He is able to provide no matter what the circumstance. He's there always in our life. God will provide our every single need that we've ever had. Abraham made it very clear that God possessed his entire heart. He wasn't leaving anything in the hands of others. He didn't think about what he had in his hands. And we have nothing to give back to God in our own lives. We have nothing to give to God. We have nothing in our hands that God didn't create. And there's nothing that is taken away that God can't recreate. But we are all His children. Every one. And what He desires is our love. What He desires is our obedience. Just as we covet love from a child. For those of you that are parents or someone that has a younger brother or sister, somebody that you know, when they snuggle up to you and they give you that little tender kiss. And that's something we hope for. We covet that kind of a thing. And so God covets those moments in our lives when we offer Him our time, when we offer Him our obedience, our money, our affections, our adorations, our prayers, our praises. And God covets those things, but most of all, our love and our obedience to His command. And I'm hoping that this morning in this lesson, that it'll unfold in our own lives the things that we need from God, and we'll be able to trust that He'll be able to fulfill all our needs. And there is, you have to ask, is there anything that you love more than God? If Abraham had loved his son more than God, this story would be different. But we know that money, family, pleasure, those things, we can't love those more than God. And God asks if we love Him more than all these things, we need to be able to say yes. That's what Abraham did when he offered that son and was ready to take the life of his own son. And we know that we can do all things in Christ who gives us strength because of accounts like Abraham. We know that we can do that because we know that God will provide wherever we lack. And we can honestly say that we love nothing more than God. When we can say that, then we will appreciate all the ways that God provides for us in every one of our needs, both spiritual and physical. Providence is not always seen. It's not something that you can always put the pen on and tack it and say, oh yeah, I can see God's providence. That's not something. Sometimes it's really big and sometimes it's microscopic. When we think of God, the providence of God and His being able to provide, you know, He gives us the universe to look at, and the sun, and the moon, and the stars, and the heavens, and all of creation, and those are big things. And we can look at that and see how God has created and provided these things from the very beginning. But sometimes it's microscopic. Sometimes it never is seen. Sometimes we don't even understand what God is doing in our lives. But we know that God provides every need, even those that go unnoticed. How many times does God provide the ram in the thicket in our lives? You know, this congregation experienced a ram in the thicket last year. Do you ever put those things together? Last year, we had a roof that was leaking. You can still see some of the stains on the wood and on the ceiling. And we decided we would start calling around and find out how much it would cost to replace our roof on the house and the building. And so about 5 different phone calls were made, 5 different quotes. Everything is way more money than we have. And one day, during all this, somebody comes knocking on my door, and he says, I was just driving down the street and I noticed you have a couple of shingles that look damaged. If you let me go up on the roof, I think I can get you a new roof free. And I said, by all means, go up on the roof. This man looked at our roof, he looked at the house, and he looked at the garage, and he said, the roof here and the house both have damage, the garage is fine. So he turned that submission to do the work into the insurance company. The insurance company approved it, and we have a brand new roof on the building, a brand new roof on the house, and a brand new garage roof. He did them all. And all of that cost us nothing, and we ended up with a check that we need to use the money to repair some of these bad spots. You see, God provides for all of our needs. Do you know a brother or sister who had some dire need and suddenly that need was met out of nowhere? We all experienced that. We all have heard of situations where it seemed that the end was imminent and very near, and suddenly through the darkness and through the storm, the light shone brightly. We've all seen that. My own son, Tony, which many of you know, he was lying on a floor in a fetal position with a terrible, terrible pain, and waited way too long. He went to the hospital. They said his appendix burst. The surgeon came out before the surgery and told us, don't hold on to a lot of hope because it's not likely he'll live. But God provided. The surgeon went in. He opened up my son. And he came back out after the surgery a few hours later and said that, you know, I think this was a miracle. Because your son's intestines created a little tiny pocket and all the poison was in one centralized area. It didn't go out through his whole body. And we just praise God. Of course, we were praying fervently. And God hears prayers and He answers prayers, and that's part of His providence. And so there are many times in the life of Abraham when faith was put to the test, and the trial recorded in Genesis, here in Genesis 22, is a narrative of the charge that God gave, of the emotion behind that. It's the idea of triumph and of the providence of God. Abraham not only believed in God's providence, but he trusted God. Abraham was promised a son that he desired, and it didn't happen, and yet when they were old, way beyond the age of childbearing, his wife gave birth because of the promise of God, because of the providence of God. And I want you to think about that word providence. You know, it says there that God provided. There, you see that in chapter 22, verse 8. God provided. You know, that word provided, if you look that up, it literally only means to see. We're talking about a word that's in your scripture over 1,300 times. And it's almost always translated simply to see or to be seen or to be revealed. So why is it translated here as provide? And the reason is pretty simple. It's because God, it relates to Him and the idea that He sees all things from the beginning and from the end. God knows all things, and because of this, God knows exactly what's ahead. He knows what is about to happen to you. And because He sees the future, and He sees the future as though it were right now, in the present, and He knows exactly how to provide in the best manner. And we can better understand the word provide or providence if we just pronounce it providence, because that's what God does. That's what providence is all about, God providing. When Abraham said God will provide, he understood God could see the future. He knew that his son Isaac would come back to him, because he knew that Isaac was the son of promise. He knew that Isaac would have to come back. And he trusted in the divine providence of God. You know, few nations in history have learned that their national security lives in their respect for submission to God and His moral righteousness. And when we think about nations that have risen and fallen, and they fall because they turn their backs upon God, we've seen it happen over and over and over again with the nation of Israel. We've seen them wander and wander farther and farther away from God. And then when they get to that certain point, then they're no longer useful to God. And God punishes them. He separates Himself from them. He cuts them off. And sometimes He uses evil nations to subdue them and to bring them back to Himself. That's His purpose. And this is important because this is true about every individual. We need not to be drifting away further and further from God, as the life of the nation depends upon its close relationship with God and His righteousness. The spiritual life of every individual depends on our close relationship with God, and that we live under His will in our lives. When we do that, then we begin to understand more about God's providence, that God will provide. You know, Joseph is a great example of that. The Scripture, it tells us there that Joseph was sold into slavery. We know all about the life of Joseph, but all these things that happen in Joseph's life, they happen at just the right moment. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 through 21, we read Joseph saying, "But as for you, you meant it for evil." He's speaking to his brothers. "You meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." God had a plan. "And now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." God had a plan. The brothers had a plan. Their plan was evil. Jealousy. But God had a plan. And He used those situations. At just the right moments, His brother cast him into that pit. At just the right moment, the Midianites came along. At just the right moment, Joseph was sold to Potiphar. At just the right moment, Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. At just the right moment, the baker and the butler was met. And at just the right moment, the butler remembered Joseph still in prison. At just the right moment, Pharaoh called for him. And at just the right moment, he was promised to be promoted to be prime minister. And just the right moment, Jacob moved his sons to Egypt. The brothers, at just the right moment, met Joseph. Jacob's family moved to Egypt. Pharaoh offered the land of Goshen, and at just the right moment, they settled there and prospered. Think about that. All of these things happen because of God's providence. All of these things happen because even before the foundation of the world, as God created and planned everything, He was able to see the beginning from the end. His omnipotence is amazing. His omnipresence is amazing. And His omniscience, to know all things, is amazing. Because all of this, just at the right moment and just the right way, with just the right people and just the right place, just the right time, God ordained all these things to happen. And He used the circumstances to provide for the nation that would become, for Israel that would become a nation. That's literally what Romans 8:28 is teaching us, that all things work together for good. Everything that happens in this world, God can use it for good to those who love Him and those who are called according to His purpose. It can all work together. When God had Abraham take his son up on that mountain, it was for your good. He wants you to know that He's going to provide that ram in the thicket. He wants you to know that when there's troubles in your life, He's going to provide the way out. He wants you to understand that. And He has over and over and over again through the Scriptures proven Himself in that way. God will provide. When the Scripture was read this morning, we heard the words Jehovah Jireh there in verse 14 of Genesis 22. That means God will provide. How does God, His providence, how does that work for me? Well, one thing, we don't have to worry. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, Jesus teaches a few things to us. That if we understand God's providential care, if we understand that He'll take care of all of our needs, we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about our lives. You see that? We don't have to worry about the things we're going to put on, what we eat or drink. We don't have to worry because we know that God will provide. Why do we need, why do you not have to worry? Well, in verse 32, Jesus said, "For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all things." That's why we don't have to worry. And when we think about it, what helps us not to worry? What helps us not to worry is that God tells us to take a direction. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Everything that we need in life is at our fingertips by that powerful hand of God. In Luke chapter 12 at verse 7, "But the very hairs," you see that? "The very hairs of your head are all numbered." Think about God, and we talked about the omniscience of God and the how God is, He's just all powerful. And He knows everything, but He knows the number of hairs on our head. And there's no one in this room that could count the number of hairs. But God already knows that. That's how we can not have to worry. That's how we know, like Abraham, that God will provide. If we could only understand the Bible teaching and the convictions, as Paul wrote, "The Lord is at hand," Philippians 4 and at verse 5. Understanding the providence of God, knowing that God really cares, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Knowing that God is always in control. God will do away with our insecurities because we know He'll provide. God will do away with our fear because we know He'll provide. God does away with our depression, with our despairs, with the troubles of our hearts and the troubles of life because we know He will provide. To know that God is in control over everything of His creation, the universe above down to the very smallest, minute part of creation. And I'm not saying that Abraham understood all those kinds of things, but I know that he trusted God. And we understand God's providence. It applies to everyone, by the way. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus tells us that the sun rises on the evil and the good, that the rain, it falls on the just and the unjust. God's providence is for everyone. Whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, whether you believe or don't believe. You know, there's a really good example in King Cyrus, and you look at Isaiah chapter 45, and King Cyrus was a Gentile. He wasn't a godly man, and yet the Lord says that, "I am the Lord your God, there is no other, and there is none besides me." And He says, "I will gird you, King Cyrus, though you have not known me." And if we look back in our lives and we can see, every one of us can see where trouble came and something just happened. And those things were resolved. God provides. And He provides in our birth, from the birth to the death. We need to understand that. It's amazing to learn how deeply God is involved with us in our birth. Psalm 139, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, and the day fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them." God saw even before birth. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and at verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, ordained you a prophet among nations." God set him aside. He knew before his birth, even before he was formed in the womb, that He was going to set him aside, sanctify him for work. And God knew all those things. In our day-to-day lives, we know that God holds the future. You think in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul?" Samuel's mourning for Saul, we can read that in chapter 15. Saul did not, he spared King Agag when he shouldn't have. He was told not to, and the result was that the Lord rejected King Saul. And Samuel's mourning over that. He's, and go on to, God is telling him, "How long will you mourn?" How long? I'm the one that's rejected him. He says, fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. He says, for I have provided myself a king. We know who that king was. That was David. And that was all in the providential care of the day-to-day lives. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, even God saw Saul, who eventually became Paul. It was James is the one who says that, you know, people go into a city and they believe they're going to buy and sell and make gain. And James tells them that, you know, you don't know what tomorrow brings. Your life is but a vapor. He says, this is what you ought to say if the Lord wills. Trusting God will live and do this or that. And also in our death, as we think about in death, you consider Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and Moses, you know, the Lord speaks to Moses on this day. He tells him to go up to a mountain called Mount Nebo. Why is he going up there? God says, you're going to go up to that mountain and you're going to die there. God knew even the point of death for Moses. Moses didn't know that. His brother Aaron, he was on a different mountain, Mount Hor, and he died. But the significant thing is there that God knew the time of the death. He told Moses where to go, that he would die there, and that he would be gathered together to his people. Gathered together to the righteous. God knew that. Jesus, concerning Peter, he told Peter that, you know, when you were young, you did as you pleased. But when you got old, you're going to be carried around by people who do what they please. And he said this to Peter, of course, speaking of what kind of death that he would have and glorify God. That's John chapter 21 and verse 19. He knew what was going to happen to Peter. Paul talking about his own death in 2 Timothy 4, he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only me, but also all those who have loved His appearing. God not only was telling Paul what was about to happen, but he also tells us that if we love the Lord Jesus, then we also will receive a crown of righteousness. And Paul was, he didn't know the day or the moment or the hour when he was going to die. He just knew death is coming. God told me it's coming. It is already determined, already set. You know, but there's going to be a crown waiting for me. A crown of righteousness. And Paul's encouraging us, telling us that it's waiting for you too. Live a life of faith and obedience. You know, all your life, God has provided for you. Sun, rain, food. There's nobody here that should be able to deny that. God's provided everyone a ram in the thicket to sacrifice for you. And Jesus is that ram. We were all born into a sinful world. We all came to the knowledge of sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God, in His love and His providence, has created a system that we can come to through Jesus Christ, that He would be our sacrifice upon that cross. He is the Word of God that came down from heaven. When God brought Jesus into the world, it wasn't just simply to be a sacrifice, but it was to bring the good news. He gave us that. He taught that. He ordained the apostles to teach and go on into all the world and to tell everyone of the good news about Jesus Christ. He provided that for all of us. He's the one that instituted the Word of God. It all came together so that we can know the truth and the truth will make us free. God provided that. He did that in His Son before the foundation of the world. Acts chapter 2, verse 23, him being delivered from the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. You have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. You know, God's given us that lamb. He's given us that ram in the thicket. No matter what happens in our lives, we know that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ because of what God has provided. And understand that because of this, that cross, it was not an afterthought, as some people teach. It wasn't a plan B. It was before the foundation of the world, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Those people that crucified Jesus, they were morally wrong. It was a terrible thing. They had to live with the guilt. But some of them, when Jesus was preached on that day by Peter and the rest of the apostles, believed. They believed and were baptized. They were added to the body of Christ, the church. And then they lived out their lives in obedience to the will of God. You see, God provides. He leads us to Jesus. Jesus leads us to the cross. And God's intention in all of this, that souls would be saved, that we would be in heaven one day with God. Let me read a poem that I found when I was putting all this together. It's called, He Maketh No Mistake. My Father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know He maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade far away, but still I trust my Lord to lead, for He doth know the way, though night be dark and it seem that day will never break. I'll pin my faith, my all in Him. He maketh no mistake. There is so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to Him. For by and by the mists will lift, and plan it all He'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, He maketh no mistake. And you know what I find wonderful about this is that in the end, that'll be the testimony of every Christian in this room and every Christian in the world. When we finally get to heaven, we will know assuredly that we made the right choice, that we didn't make a mistake. We followed Jesus through the twists and turns and seeming darknesses and detours of life, through all the storms. And we know that He makes no mistake. I hope and pray that you don't make the mistake. The mistake of believing in yourself, trusting in yourself rather than in the providence of God. The mistake of believing that you're in a sinking boat and that you can save yourself. And my advice is get out of the boat and take the hands of Jesus. Allow Him to provide what you need. You need that understanding that God will provide. You know, in closing, you think about the things that God has already provided. Brother Andy prayed this morning, and he said that he woke up this morning and he was in a warm room. God provided shelter. God provides food. When you're sick, God can provide the ram in the thicket. He will provide. When you have help and you're in trouble, and God can provide that ram in the thicket, He always will. He will provide. If you're losing friend over something, you know, pray. God can provide. If you're lonely, God will comfort. He'll provide. He'll give you that ram in the thicket. If there's storms in your life, you turn to the Lord and trust Him, and God will provide that ram in the thicket. He will calm the storm. If you're in a place of calamity, confusion, God can settle all that. You see, God can provide. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and following, Jesus said He would provide. He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that are labored and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." God will provide those things. we need to know this morning that God will provide for each and every one of us so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not be afraid. Those are the words of the Apostle Paul. It's also the words of the psalmist in Psalm 54 and 4, where the psalmist said, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who will uphold me. Today, God is your helper. And what is great about this is that God has helped us through the Scriptures to understand what we must do to receive the best of all the providential care, and that is the salvation of our souls, a home in heaven. Jesus provided a place for those who believe. In that sky, or that place called heaven, that those mansions that he talked about in John chapter 14. And he said he went to prepare a place to provide that for you and for me. And all we must do is believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. If you're not been if you're not a child of God and you're still in that sinking boat, get out right now today. The hand of Jesus. Believe and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. And if you are a child of God and your boat's shaky and sinking, you can get out of that boat, come and repent, be restored to God. Whatever your need is this day, I pray you'll come forward now as we stand and as we sing.